Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his in his throne. Excuse me. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. You can have your seats this morning. We did a, if you can make that, I don't know if there's any way to zoom that in, Brother George. If there is, that'd be great. Control P should work. It would be control plus, the plus symbol for zoom. There we go. Just a little bigger if you could. We spoke a lot, and I sort of felt that the last Sunday school was a shotgun, put a shell in the gun and fired it. Was maybe seemed a little bit confusing because we covered a lot of ground. And so we'd like to just recap some of that and go through this just slowly. And I could already feel I won't get to much of this. We covered mainly the confusion on terminology. And I believe that this one point alone would be extremely crucial in your understanding, because I know some of you are actually studying this for yourself, because a lot of people have asked me for the PDF and the information. It wasn't just one or two. It was actually quite a few who was just corresponding, asking if they could get the PDF, which is just a study that I had actually received from another minister, and I thought it was just awesome, and I just laid things out clearly, because if, as we said the last time, you got to be very careful with the terminology that the prophet uses, because if you see a certain word and you think and you don't take the context of what he's trying to say, then you'll automatically think, you'll automatically conclude his reasoning or his point, and you could be a million miles off from what he's even trying to say. So we've got to follow the entire thought, and we dealt with the terminology bride age, and we dealt with that a lot. And I believe that it's very clear teaching in the message, as we said, if we follow it from Genesis to Revelation, if we follow it in the continuity of the way the prophet taught it, I believe that it's real clear teaching in the message that all of the Gentile dispensation in a whole, we were to put that in a cup and pour water into it and say that all of the liquid in this cup is the entire Gentile dispensation. It happens in the church ages, the seven church ages. The prophet teaches that very clearly. We have that on the quote that we put up. We won't take the time to last time. That the entire fullness of the Gentile dispensation happens in the church ages. So we made the point that if we believe that we are out of the seventh age. Now remember, when we say that, we're speaking about time. Because let me give you a wake-up call. We are still here. Yes, believe it or not. We are still here. Your body is still here, and history is still unfolding. The purpose and the plan of God is still unfolding. Amen. Today. We haven't reached a period. We haven't reached a stopping point. God is still moving. God is still unfolding his drama, his plan, whatever you want to call it. God is still unfolding that revelation. I read a Scofield note that I just thought was awesome, and I wish I could have put it up here, but I didn't have time. Scofield speaking of the name Jehovah, and he says this about the name Jehovah in Scofield's notes, 1917 edition. The name Jehovah, and he says this: the primary meaning of the name of the Lord, which is Jehovah, is the self-existing one. We've been told that before, right? It means the self-existing one. Literally, it means he that is who he is, therefore the eternal I am. So Jehovah means the self-existing one. But Hovah, from which Jehovah is, Yahweh, is formed, signifies also to become. To become, that is, to become known, thus pointing to a continuous and increasing self-revelation. If you combine the two, the name Jehovah, even the name Jehovah itself, when it's broken down, means the self-existing one who continually unveils and unfolds himself. That's the name Jehovah. So we don't just stop and put a period and say, this is God. No, the entire meaning of the name Jehovah is the self-existing one who continually throughout time is unfolding himself to his people and unfolding his plan and his drama. I thought that was powerful. But we see that we are still here caught in time, and we'll use this chart here that the prophet uses, you see on the screen here, of the seven church ages, and each age having dates, each age having a messenger, and each age having that circle, that sphere that has some light and some darkness in it. And you see how the darkness would increase. We don't have time to cover really this chart here, though there's a lot that could be said. But what you'll notice is that through each one of these ages, these are the encompassing all of the seven church ages, the darkness that gets greater and greater, all the way down to the Laodicean age. And one point that you don't want to forget is that Brother Branham actually used in the church age book a picture of the eclipse when the Pope visited, or when the Pope visited Israel. You remember that? And you see the chart of the moon in its sphere. And if you look at the stages of the moon, it matched all seven of those church age spheres. Then my question is, if there is an eighth age in time, why didn't the moon reflect in time on earth what God had in eternity? Because there wasn't one. Because after the seven, you go back to the first day, which is eternity. So again, as we said, we want to approach this carefully, that to say that there's an eighth age, that something happens and that there's another sphere, or you add to that and there's a bride age. And I know bride age is a term that the prophet uses, but if we're not careful, we get confused and make it another age in time, that the seven church ages are over and now God has another age, and now we're not of the seventh church age, we're not in the seventh church age anymore. To which I would simply say, we're not the Laodicean church, by no means. The Laodicean church was the Pentecostal move. It was the shuck. It was the Pentecostal church, and we're not of that church. But we are of that church age. We are captured in that time period. A lot happens in every age, in the age of Paul, in the age of Ephesus. More happened than Pentecost. More happened than silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. A lot more happened than just that one thing. There was also a falling away of that same church, to where you come over to the book of Jude and he's saying, grievous wolves, there are men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. You know, all of these things happened, this falling away. So to say that in Ephesus there was two split ages, there wasn't. In every age, one very important point that you must understand, and we had a quote the last time, if you want the study, we'll give it to you, is that every time you read in the book of Revelation, when it's speaking to the church ages, he is addressing both the false vine and the true vine. And if you don't follow that closely, you'll hear his instruction or his word or his prophecy or his explanation, the Spirit's explanation of the false vine, and think he's speaking about you when he's not. There was a false vine. There was a wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked church of Laodicea. But there was also a church who took his counsel and bought of him gold tried in the fire and became overcomers. That all happens within the same exact age. And man, I can't make that point. I just feel enough. It's so crystal clear when you study the message that now, when we come to this term, and I want to get to this PDF, because if I don't, it'll just sit there and we won't get to it and we'll run out of time. Let me just pull it up. on my end. So we see here, if you just scroll down, Brother George, the third stage, and this is terminology, and we'll go through some of these quotes. You can study it later at home. And I know this is a intensive and very wordy, but just follow as close as you can. Third stage, and I use that highlighted there in orange. Is there any way to make that bigger? I know that there is. People are not going to be able to see that. There you go. There you go. One more time. One more time if you can, brother. If that's it, that's there we go. Third stage, third age. Now, you're going to see this terminology the prophet uses when talking about the church ages. Questions and Answers, 1963. After that man that had the message, Luther, the death of Luther, they had a Lutheran organization. After the death of Wesley, they had a Methodist organization. See, you keep going that way. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, someone might ask about the Pentecostal, which was the third age. Now you go, hold on a minute. Now I'm really confused because I thought the Pentecostal age was the seventh age. Well, just follow the thought of what the prophet's trying to say. You see, each one of those ages only took a dip in the Holy Spirit. Justification is work of the Holy Spirit. Move on down to the bold text. But at the end of the age, as it always ends upon the others, we find there then the messenger sent, and all these scruples and things are to be placed in their places. See, then the eighth age comes. Is that what the prophet says? Then an eighth messenger rises on the scene after the seventh is gone and leads the bride, and he's their Joshua. Is that what the prophet said? No, it's what a lot of men have said. But here's what the prophet says. At the end of the age, a prophet comes. At the end of the Laodicean age, not the beginning. Remember, the Laodicean age did not start with William Branham's message. It didn't. The Laodicean age and time started with Pentecost. 1906 Azusa Street Pentecost. A restoration of the gifts, and men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the wheat plant that Brother Branham describes in The Seed Shall Not Be Ere with the Shuck. And he describes that stalk and the tassel and the grain. And he says, and then out of that shuck, it looked like the real, but it was just a carrier of the life. I thank God for the Pentecostal church because it carried the prophet's message. It was the open door. It was the open of the pulpits, literally the open door. It was the opening of the Pentecostal church that heard Brother Branham's message and allowed him to preach and allowed him to come into his ministry. But it was just a shuck. It was just a carrier of the life. And then what happens, the prophet says, the shuck begins to pull away. As soon as the prophet begins to teach and not just go through a healing campaign, Pentecostal says, oh, hold on now a minute. You've got out of your place. So what is it? The shuck, a carrier of the life, pulls away. And what happens when they pull away? That Pentecostal carrier, that Pentecostal age, that Laodicean age rejects Christ. Jesus? No, not Jesus. They believe in the historical event and account, but they rejected Christ for their age. And remember, Christ is, and it wasn't just about Jesus of Nazareth, but Christ to each age was the word for that age. And to reject the word for that age was to reject Christ in his current form. And so they didn't reject Jesus of Nazareth. They rejected the messenger who was revealing Christ. And so they rejected him. And that's why we read in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door. The door of what? The church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So Christ in this age is put outside of the church because they rejected the message of the hour. The same carrier that allowed the open door for the grain to come, for the seed to come, for the word to come, was the carrier that rejects the message. Pentecost puts him out of their pulpits. And that's why you find at the opening of the seven seals, at the opening of the word, when Brother Branham's real commission comes to play, the shuck pulls away. Amen. And now Christ is put on the outside, But does that mean the age ends? No. It means God is finished calling a Laodicean bride, a Pentecostal bride. And he's now said, I no longer call you church, I call you bride. Amen. That was the message of the hour. Come out of her, my people. Amen. Are you here this morning? Amen. I know we're saying a lot, but it's just as it's coming. But at the end of the age, notice what he says here. At the end of the age, at the end of the age, at the end of the age, not at the next age, not at the eighth age, at the end of the age. At the end of the age, it always ends upon the others. We find the messenger sent, and all these scruples and things are to be placed in their places. Remember, the prophet wasn't coming to give us new truth. No, he was building upon different men who had already gotten certain parts of the word right, then others wrong, then this would be right, then that would be wrong. Another man would come along and he would see the word of God. He would see how the church has got it wrong. He'd probe, the prophet said he'd probe at it. Remember, God didn't send us a message that was something brand new. It was a restoration to tie up the loose ends, to set it straight, to bring the pure word back to the people. So people get so shy. I can't believe I read the same thing that I read that Larkin said the same exact thing almost verbatim that Brother Branham was just plagiarizing or repeating what Larkin said. You missed the entire point. Brother Branham over and over and over on tape says, I studied those men's writings. That's where I got this from. So he was a restoration prophet. He wasn't coming to bring some new mystery or some new thing or some new word. He was coming to tie all of those loose ends. Because you say, why, Brother Matt? Because what was God doing through those seven church ages? What was his plan? His plan was to restore his people back to what they had fallen from. What had they fallen from? The word. He wasn't coming to restore us back to just good life and eternal life and eternal youth. Adam and Eve had all of those good things. But God's plan wasn't just to give us back, good things and a good atmosphere and where we could speak to squirrels and where we could speak to animals and we could speak things into existence. God wasn't bringing that back. He was restoring his people back to what they had fallen from. And they had fallen from, where did Eve fall? The word. Her bodily, her physical action of adultery was only a manifestation of the fall that took place in her mind first. Because she began to reason. Always remember that. The body always just follows what the mind has already settled in its own mind. So Eve only followed what she had believed. She began to doubt the word. Her faith began to be shaken. She began to question. She began to reason. And so adultery followed. The act followed the seed that was planted inside of her mind. Amen. So what happens after all these scruples are being brought to their place is he says here, then the rapture comes for the church. Remember, as we showed you last time, very clearly in the message, Brother Branham says almost verbatim, we had the quote here last time, the rapture happens in the seventh church age. Amen. So it's a very simple question. If we're not in the seventh church age, as some are teaching, I guess we've missed the rapture. Because the prophet says the rapture happens in the seventh age. Is that extremely clear or is it just me? Seems so clear. Investments. Now, didn't Jesus say the church age, the Laodicean church age was rich, increased with goods, had need for nothing? Isn't that the condition of the church today? And yet Christ has unfolded himself through three church ages. Through three church ages. So you'll notice this number three, and don't get confused by it. See, what he's speaking of when he speaks of, let me just let him say it himself. Through these three church ages, through Luther, through Wesley, through Pentecost. There's your three ages. Amen. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Amen. Were they ages like seven church ages? No. But you've got to watch the terminology. He's speaking of the age of restoration. Amen. That God would begin to send the reformers to restore the bride tree. Remember the prophecy of Joel, all that the locust, all that the cankerworm, all that the caterpillar, behold, I will restore, saith the Lord. And he says, through these three church ages, through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost unfolded himself in his word, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the restoration of the gifts, and now his own personal identity among them. There was three stages. Now, if we would just have taken that word and not three and not ages, we'd have an understanding of what Brother Branham means when he speaks of bride age. It's more properly understood bride stage. That there was a bride stage. There was a denominational stage within the church age. And then there was a bride stage within the church age. There was three stages. I said the martyrs, age of the martyr. Uh-oh, we got age of the martyr, so I guess we have nine ages now. And then the stage of the reformers, I guess we have 10 ages now. And now the calling out time, or the calling out age. See, does not err with the shuck, 1965, follow down. Luther, in the church, when a shuck, let me find my place before that. When a shuck comes forth out of a grain of wheat or a blade of wheat after the pollen has fallen, in there in the second stage, and produce the third stage, which is the shuck. You say, Brother Matt, I'm confused. Just think of the wheat plant that Brother Branham speaks of, and seed is not air with the shuck. He uses the wheat plant to show the restoration of the word back to the church. That it was a work of the Holy Spirit and Luther's message of justification. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit himself. It was a carrier of the life. And what happened in Luther's age, those believers who believed the message of their hour were sealed as part of the bride. And then God put them to sleep, plagues fall, they organized around the word, that denomination died, and then it comes through Wesley. Brother Branham said, what was it? A little tassel comes forth. And he says, through Wesley. He comes with the message of sanctification, and the believers who believe the fullness of the word and move from just justification and moved into sanctification, clean living, they were the bride of that age. Amen. Then God put them to sleep, moves on. The plant goes up further through Pentecost. Yeah. Here comes the Laodicean church, the Pentecostal church. The Laodicean church. Now, Brother Branham said, what is it? He says, when a shuck comes forth, it produced the third stage, which is the shuck. This was Pentecost. Yeah. Luther was a type of Hagar, the stalk. We won't have time to cover this, but let's just move on down. Luther, in the church age, bringing forth the bride seed, was the same in spirit, just one little grain of seed Luther stood out on. That was justification by faith. He was the very type of Hagar, the stalk. Wesley was a type of Sarah, the tassel. Notice, Wesley was a type of Sarah, the Philadelphian, the age of love that brought forth the tassel. Pentecost, third stage of the Reformation, the shuck. Luther went to husk with his first word, the just shall live by faith. Wesley had two words, sanctification, second definite work of grace. Pentecost had the third word, the restoration of gifts. But the entire seed has to come forth. See how they denominated on one word and on another word and on another word. Amen. They denominate on one thing. So there's three stages, as you see here. You have the stalk. You have three stages of the restoration. You have the stalk, the tassel, the shuck, and then what? Then back to the grain again. That's why Jesus says, unless a corn of wheat falls, goes into the ground, and dies, it abideth alone. What was Jesus pointing to? That there was coming seven church ages. Hallelujah. That there had to come death, that there had to be an Alpha and an Omega. Amen. And there would be an Omega bride that was restored back to the faith of the first church. Right. No more church ages after this. The life producing, these are just my notes. Notice this, last quote we'll read. But there's got to be something that cannot be denominated. It's the entirety of the life that's in there. Has to produce itself again on a bride. There cannot be any more church ages after this. Amen. We're at the end. Brothers and sisters, we're here. We've arrived. Thanks be to God. Now we see these things are just as true as they can be. Amen. Amen. We didn't get anywhere today from where we wanted to, but that's okay. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your revelation, for your word that you've sent, Lord God. Father, we thank you for revealing it to our hearts. We pray that you'll continue to unveil yourself. Continue, Lord, as some of these things, I'm sure, are elementary for some. Lord, sadly, they're algebra for some others, Lord. No doubt some will hear this Sunday school and just be lost as if I was speaking another language. Let that, Father, not be a judgment. Lord, let that be a challenge to that individual to say, let me catch up. Let me find out where I'm living and what my message is and what I believe and why I'm here. Lord, let us find ourselves in your word. For Lord, only your word has the answer for the problems in this world today. May you bless the service, Lord, the songs that are sang, Father, the preaching of your word that'll go forth in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.